It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Glad you are here. And I'm also glad our guest is here. We have the founder and visionary behind DeFi Tax, which is a groundbreaking platform designed to bring clarity and compliance to the complex world of cryptocurrency tax reporting, a big growing industry, right? This person has made it her mission to empower individuals, businesses, institutions to navigate crypto taxes confidently and with a dedication to precision, transparency, and client protection. And that continues to shape the future of crypto tax compliance. We're going to talk about crypto. We're going to talk about taxes, one of our favorite subjects, right? Help me welcome Jana Scott. Jana, welcome. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. How long have you been in the business and why and how did you get started doing taxes?
It's a little funny. I was born and raised in Germany. And when I graduated high school, my parents said, hey, you want to go to the US for a year? I'm like, sure. Well, that was over 20 years ago.
Wow.
So here I am. My English was not very good. You know, when people come to you at the store and they go, oh, hi, how are you? Can I help you? Yeah, I turned around and ran away. And I first came here because I was like, I have no idea what to say. So something that's universal, though, is numbers. So while I was, you know, going to school and getting, you know, better at English and understanding it and not wanting to run away, numbers just worked for me. And so I've been in accounting for the past 20 years. I switched sides. I called it switch sides. I was in public accounting and then I switched and worked for the government.
Okay.
And I worked for various different agencies. I worked my way up fairly quickly and oversaw the State Department's finances and yelled at them for their spending and did the Treasury reports. And then one day they sent me an NDA. The government sent me an NDA.
Okay.
Yep. And I said, I ignored it for about 2 months because I was like, my job description says transparent government position. So I was like, I'm not signing it. And then I got a meeting with them and I said, I'm not signing it. I quit.
Wow.
So, I mean, and I gave them the reasons as to, I knew why they wanted me to sign it. You know, I knew why. So, you know, I just said, it's like, and they basically said, you don't have to come back because your computer will pay you for the rest of the month. I'm like, okay. Worked for me. And so I went back, I switched sides to the light. I came back to the light. and I decided, you know, I want to work with people again. I want to help them navigate their finances, and their taxes and get them set up. And actually, you know, I always see two sides. There's really the one side of tax preparers, CPAs, accountants, enrolled agents, whatever you want to call it, who are very aggressive to the point of tax evasion. And I do see it quite a bit. I look over returns, and that's why it's so important for you to review your return, because I look over returns and I ask my clients, I said, what are these numbers? And they say, I have no idea. I was like, yeah, because your accountant lowered your taxes significantly with fraudulent numbers. Or I see the other side. Them not knowing what they're doing and being too scared to cause any waves. And so they're just not adding, they're just not giving the taxpayer the greatest benefit. So it's, you know, it's two sides. I rarely come across people, and I do, but rarely I come across people who are really good at what they're doing, who can justify what they're doing, who attach the right, because all returns can have attachments where you justify, you know, what you're doing and make it very beneficial. And so I've kind of taken it on, and I've tried hiring, it hasn't worked out well. And so I've taken it on to try and really navigate this world and be very educational with my clients. I'm not just a, my tax firm is not a, which is not DeFi Tax, but my tax firm is not a seasonal firm. I work all year round. right? I need to work with my clients all year round, because if I don't, I'm just going to be like everybody else and call them in April and say, would have, could have, should have, but here's your tax bill, right?
Yeah.
So I try to optimize it and help them understand too what's going on, because if they know more, it makes my life easier.
And that is so important, is most people, you know, they show up to the accountant's office with last year's, you know, tax prep, and they're like, here you go. And the accountant, all they can do is put it in the boxes, right? And they can't really advise.
Annoy our clients. We annoy them. My business partner, Aria, is very good at going, it's the quarter, another quarter. Let's meet.
Wow,
all of our commission real estate clients, December comes around, one last meeting, because I don't trust you to not have gotten the last minute commission that we didn't count for, you know? Yeah. So we're very, you know, we try to be as involved as possible. You know, we know their kids' birthday, we know their religion, we gave them, you know, congratulate them on their holidays if they're a different religion, you know, we are involved.
So going back to your history, were you the Department of Government Efficiency before the Department of Government Efficiency was cool?
I wish. I've seen a few things I would like to point out, but
yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, I just worked on the treasury reports the states are filing and oversaw, you know, kind of, yeah. You know, the accounting for that. So,
funny. All right, let's shift real quick to what I know everybody's probably wanted to talk about, and that is the specific area of cryptocurrency taxes. Yeah. And yeah. Guys, everybody, there's Bitcoin. Here's my opinion. There's Bitcoin, and then there's all the other ones.
True.
You know, we're going to discuss cryptocurrency probably with the blanket of all of those, but there are some nuances with Bitcoin that the other cryptocurrencies don't have, and vice versa. So maybe we can start with talking about, you know, what is the landscape of cryptocurrency and taxes, and how do we navigate it?
Well, so, you know, this brings me back, you know, I have my clients, I'm involved. They came to me and they said about three years ago, and they said, hey, how do I report my crypto taxes? And I've been trading since 17 and bad me. I said, I have no idea. And so, you know, I like problem solving. So I went down the rabbit hole, and I had multiple Coinbase exchanges that I used, and I had this little one that had maybe, you know, in 2021, 22, I had about 300 transactions, nothing. I was just kind of playing around with it there. And I took it and I went and I connected, I did the OAuth2 API with all the different products on the market. There were about 14, and I didn't discriminate. I didn't just take US products. I took products from all over the world.
Oh. Yeah,
all over the world, right? From India, from Europe, from Australia, from you know, and I went and I connected that little, you know, 3-4 year, 300 transaction account. And my expectations were that, right, it's a low number of transactions. They're going to give me about the same outcome, same capital gain, same loss, same income, right? No. It was on such a small set of data, it was such a big difference between each of the products. It wasn't that half the products matched one another and the other half matched, you know, in a different way. No, every single one gave me a different outcome. There was no common ground on any of them. So I said, well, this is weird. This makes no sense. So what I did is I went and grabbed the raw data from these products. And then I went and did an API and pulled the raw data directly from the blockchain, because when I tried to pull the raw data from a CSV file directly from Coinbase, I realized I was missing data. I was missing information. I couldn't use that to do anything manually. So once I had the raw data with all the details, the hash, the fees, the spot price, the trades, the you know, everything, I set out and I went through IRS regulations. I saw how it was, what was in place at that time. And then I did a lot of my own conclusions based on experience within this. And first I went and I figured out what all the products are doing wrong. Why are there so many inconsistencies? And then I went ahead and took the raw data and I went through it over and over and over again and calculated it manually. It took me about 9 months to really get to the bottom of what is happening within each of the products. and what is happening on the blockchain and what is the right way to do this. So once I got that, I was like, okay, I'm going to reach out to all of these products because I figured out what each of these products' issues were. And somewhere within the algorithm's calculations, somewhere within the data they pulled, somewhere within their code themselves. Okay. So I had everything and I reached out to them. And my message to all of them was, I don't want any money. I'm not asking for money. I figured out what's wrong. I want to give you the data so you can fix it. That's it. And 90% said, no, thanks. Some blocked me. Some said, yeah, no, not our problem. The two I think we talked to, when I asked questions, certain questions and how they received the data, how they got the data, they couldn't even answer that question, even though I talked to the CEO and the tax attorney for the company. And then they tried to sell me their product to use. Ah. And I said, no, thanks. I'm good. And so then throughout, in March of 23, or beginning of 23, the SEC got wind of what I was researching and all my research. And I met with a lot of the division chiefs, and presented the research and the proof and everything. And they said, oh crap. Like, yep. They said, I'm going to get you over straight to the IRS. So I met with the IRS division chiefs and some of people from the chief counsel, and I have all the emails, none of them say confidential, pointing out the issues, because in our meeting with the IRS, we went over how they're doing the crypto audits. And my research proved that the way they're doing the crypto audits was completely inaccurate. And they said so. And they actually stopped the audits in 23. They sent us an RFI, they sent us an RFP, request for information, request for proposal. We outlined everything, how it should be done. Then they also sent us to multiple congressional committees to show the research. So ultimately, the government agencies have been aware of these products being inaccurate since beginning of 2023, yet they're still requiring you to report, knowing full well, nobody's going to report it accurately, right? Because one is underreporting, one is overreporting. I mean, quite literally, so Coinbase, for example, my exchange has now a lot more transactions. But as for my 2024, okay, Coinbase tells me, because they do their own capital gain and loss, tells me I have a gain of $99. One of the top products on the market that Coinbase endorses, can't say names, tells me I have a loss of $1,147. And $8 in income. The other product that they endorse on the same set of data tells me I have a loss of $351 and $8. They got the income correct. My actual number is I have a loss of $1,266 and income of $977. So there is no consistency, even within the exchanges and within the products that are endorsed by the exchanges on the exchange's own data, right? So, sure. Towards the end of 23, we were introduced to some universities that are actually working with the IRS, reviewing their, working on the crypto regulations, et cetera. And they asked me to give them all my research so they can peer review it and then publish it. And so we've been working with them for the last year and a half. And the initial draft just came out for me to review. And it's going to go out probably in the next month or so. It's going to be published. I do have an NDA in place with them for it to not go out to the public, because I would like to not give these products on the market right now a roadmap to fix it, since I gave them the opportunity and nobody cared. And so I said, fine, I'll build my own.
There you go.
The universities, again, in 24, used my research to actually stop the audits again. When the IRS tried to start audits up again, they put my research back under their nose and said, you can't. So here we are.
So what do individual investors need to know? You've been investing in Trump Coin, or you bought some Shiba Inu and now you sold it. You know, what do we need to know? Because let me set that up by saying, you know, it wasn't always that these exchanges like Coinbase, Kraken, crypto.com, all the other, you know, US-based exchanges or US branched exchanges were reporting 1099s to the government. So well, now I guess they are. They're not yet.
Not yet. So they initially that, well, let me rephrase that. Robinhood already is. Okay. But there's a big issue. So the publication that just came out last year, they were going to have it starting as of 1/1/2026, that the exchanges have to report 1099 DAs. Now I think they're trying to push it to 27. We will see. The problem with this is this. There are certain taxable events, okay? So let's say you buy Bitcoin, Shiba, Ethereum, whatever it is. You buy it and then you sell it. You have a taxable, like you have a taxable event, whether it's a loss or a gain, okay? Or you buy some Bitcoin and you trade it for Ethereum, okay? Taxable event, okay? If you bought Bitcoin for $2,000, it's worth $5,000. You trade it for $5,000 of Ethereum, you have a $3,000 capital gain. Trading is a taxable event, okay? Next one, you bought the $2,000 of Bitcoin, and I say, hey, Mark, I'm going to pay you for some work you did. Here you go. I'm sending you now $5,000, $3,000 gain, right? Because I spent $2,000 on the Bitcoin, it grew to five, sending you five, $3,000 gain capital. It's a taxable event. Now, when you receive that $5,000 of Bitcoin, you have ordinary income, right? Okay? And you have to report this as ordinary income. Now, and then there's bridging is treated the same way as trading. Minting is not a taxable event in the sense that when you dispose of the NFT, right, then you have a taxable event if it grows or lowered, or if you send it to somebody. Mining is income. So there's really just, you know, capital gain, capital loss, and income, you know, three sets. But now this is the
problem. Well, there's also short-term capital gain versus long-term.
Well, capital gain, short-term, long-term. I put that in the same kind of
category. Okay. Right? All right.
It's capital gain or capital loss, short-term, long-term, right? It's the same. It's the same. It's just the holding period is different.
Right.
So, but this is the problem. Let's say I have a Robinhood account. And I'm saying Robinhood because our Robinhood already does this, unfortunately. And I have a Coinbase account. And I just bought my $2,000 worth of Bitcoin and grew to $5,000. And I say, oh, there's something on Robinhood I would like to trade that Coinbase does not offer. So I send it over to Robinhood. It's my account. According to the IRS, a self-transfer, like you would send money from checking to savings, not a taxable event. Okay?
Right.
Robinhood doesn't know that it came from your Coinbase. Robinhood is going to get it and it's going to say, oh, look, $5,000 of income. I'm going to report that to the IRS. Robinhood has no idea it came from your own Coinbase. Now Coinbase does the same thing. Coinbase says, oh, look, $2,000 worth of Bitcoin is now $5,000. You send it to somebody. I don't know it's yours. They're going to report a $3,000 gain. Now you have an $8,000 taxable event that is reported to the IRS. You didn't have. Right?
So are you saying that a transfer on some of these exchanges is reported as income?
Correct.
Even if it's to yourself.
But they don't know that.
I know, but they don't know that. So you're sitting there have to play defense and you have to kind of prove that, yeah, you didn't get an $8,000 gain.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is this.
Yeah. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2-4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2-4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
Try calling the IRS and saying, hey, this was incorrectly reported, you know what the IRS says? Not our problem. You need to call the people that actually made submitted the 1099 official government document to us, and you need to tell them. Now try calling Coinbase.
Yeah, right. There's you can't call Coinbase.
Yeah.
You know, that's so funny because it's called the Internal Revenue Service. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like there's a lot of service there when, you know, there, you have to now prove that you're correct.
Yeah.
And then you have no
way. So if you don't report it, right? And if you don't report it, what's going to happen is they're going to, you know, the back end system automatically is going to recalculate it based on the 1099 submitted. They're going to report the income and you're going to get a tax bill, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so this is the problem, right? And I've been making them aware of it, you know, and obviously they haven't made any of this public, unfortunately. But I've been making people aware of this and I've spoken to the government. I mean, I've spoken to the chief counsel attorneys. I've spoken to congressional committees. I've spoken to the SEC. You know, I have all the proofs in the pudding, right?
Yeah.
I have it all. And so, you know, I said, you know what, if nobody else will do it, I'm going to do it. And so there's a couple issues. So we've talked about the exchanges now let's talk about the products. The problem with the product is, If you have a business and you use QuickBooks or any kind of bookkeeping software, if you get audited, the IRS will never say, oh yeah, give me your QuickBooks and I'm going to review them, because QuickBooks has features where you can adjust things. You can make up adjusted journal entries. You can make up numbers. You can add whatever you want in it, whether it's connected to your bank account or not. So, and this is the problem. What is the one thing we know for sure about the blockchain? What happens on the blockchain stays on the blockchain, right?
Right. Yep.
So, okay. Now take every single one of these products into consideration. Okay. You go and you upload all your transactions. Okay. One thing for investors, please don't ever upload a CSV file. It has missing data, is inaccurate. If you can use API or OAuth 2, do not use a CSV file. But this is the thing. Let's say I uploaded all my transactions. They're all there. These products have features that are completely ludicrous, but they have to have those features because they don't get the right data all the time. They don't have good data coming in. Their APIs are not right. Their backend isn't right. There's issues. And I'll tell you why. I figured it all out, right? I know why. But this is the problem. They have features that let you edit the transaction. And I'm not saying like, edit a little bit. No, you can edit the date. You can edit the time. You can edit the currency. You can edit the spot price. You can edit the fees. You can edit every single aspect of that transaction.
Mm.
Every single aspect. And that makes it immediately, that makes this product immediately completely useless in an IRS audit. Completely useless.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one of the issues. But then the other issue is, the features, obviously, but then, so when I try to find, good developers to help me, it suddenly dawned on me why these products have issues. They're built by coders. They're not built by tax professionals, because I came across a lot of people who said, oh, this is easy. I'm like, no, it's not. And they said, oh no, this is easy. It's just this code, you know, I'm like, no. There's a bunch of nuances you're missing, which is what's causing these discrepancies, right? And it works fine. Listen, the basis works fine if it's just buy and sell.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But if you have a bunch of trades, if you have transfers out, if you have transfers in, you have to match certain things. If you have, especially NFTs, right? Some of these products, they're not taking NFTs. You have to manage, like yourself, you can change the transaction type on these products. If I say it was a buy, I can make it a sell. If I say it was a sell, I can make it a trade. I can ignore a transaction. I can delete a transaction. Completely ludicrous, right? Wow. If it's there, it's there. now NFTs have to be in a completely different category, because let's say you have an Ethereum-based NFT, okay? And let's say you bought 5,000 of Ethereum, and then you bought a $5,000 NFT of Ethereum. Now you're selling 4,000 Ethereum, and let's say you're saying last in, first out. These products go and take your NFT. You haven't sold your NFT. Your NFT is still with you, but they're going to use the NFT spaces instead of using the one that is actually, so it has to be taken out of circulation. It's not like, let's imagine you have a painting. You don't just sell a portion of a painting. You just rip off a corner and say, here you go, you know? And so there's just compounding issues that wouldn't be an issue if it's just a buy and a sell, easy peasy.
So what I'm hearing is that we still have a fairly new industry, and there's lots of nuances, and all the nuances have not been ironed out. I mean, it's going to take people like you and responsible people at the companies and with these intermediary products to be able to hammer it out. So, you know, in our time remaining, why don't you give us some tips on what we can do to prevent issues and problems, and, you know, or do we ignore everything altogether?
I'm going to sound cocky right now. Use my product. I have a hard time doing this. I have a hard time being on the podcast. I do. I'm not. I like to be in the background. I like to do the numbers.
Fine. You're doing great. We love you.
Well, I was trying to get my COO. I was like, you're the face. You do it. And she goes, no, I can't. It's in your brain. Look, I didn't do this to make money. I did this for a couple of reasons. My clients freak out when they get a letter from the IRS that says refund on it. And I get a text message saying, I got a letter from the IRS. What do I do? I'm like, you're fine, right? Now imagine, because this is the issue, the IRS, and you can Google this, sent out 1,000 John Doe letters to all the exchanges, all the products that have KYC. And all these places responded. The IRS knows who you are and that you touch crypto. Doesn't matter if you have an cold wallet. Doesn't matter wherever you have it. If you've ever used a KYC, not just an exchange, but MoonPay or anything that requires you to verify your identity, they know that you've done this. Okay. There's no hiding, period. They're looking at replacing a third of their budget by doing these crypto audits. They're going to start again. They're going to start up again. Now, I don't know if you remember what happened with, and a lot of people probably do, with the ERCT credits. All these companies that came out of the woodworks and said, I can help you. I can go get these. I'm going to file the 941Xs. And are you going to get money back? And because of COVID, because where we're at, the IRS doled out the money. The forms came in, they paid.
Wow.
Now, these companies took 25%. They're gone now.
They're gone. Yeah, sure.
They're gone. The IRS now comes back and says, those were fraudulent forms. Give us back the money. Plus interest and penalties. Oh, and the 25% that you paid the other company, give it back to us too.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And that's the same thing that's going to happen, right? Because we didn't just audit the software products on the market. We audited 53 so-called crypto tax experts on the market, paid them, gave them our transactions. And every single one just basically took $3,000-$4,000 to do a small, like 300 to 1,000 transactions. And ran it through one of those products and gave it back to us as their own work. Hmm. Now, this is the problem. Can you imagine if millions of audit letters go out for crypto and all these people that come out of the woodwork saying, I can help. No, you can't. You have absolutely no way to help. In our product, we've built in an audit protection because A, the IRS knows already who we are. I've already upset them. And I'll continue to do so because I don't care. They should not be charging penalties and fees and interest on people when they knew for a fact that nobody could report accurately. And I haven't seen the internal numbers for whatever they've come up with now, but I will argue against it. I can, you know, we can actually give reports that will back you up, right? That your accountant or us, you know, you can hire us as well. We'll go and argue with the IRS on your behalf for it. And because it is, quite frankly, it is ridiculous. The people out there, the products that are multi-billion-dollar products, who do not care to do it right, and put people in horrible positions. And those are products that are all over the world. It's not just in our country, right? They're doing it all over the world.
Sure.
And that's what really gets me, right? That's what gets me is people are already struggling financially, and now if the middle class, people who made a few thousand dollars in crypto, are going to get tax bills dating back, because they can go back 10 years, dating back to 2015. I'm sorry. That's not okay.
No. Yeah. So how do people find out a little bit more about you, Jana, what you can do for them and how they can get involved with you and what you can help them with?
So we have, our website is defitax.us. We're currently having a wait list. We're doing a soft launch only for people who have signed up on the wait list. Okay. On April 15th. And so, and then, you know, within the next month or so, we're going to open it up, but the waitlist people are going to get a better deal. We're going to have some features for them that are not available to you or when it opens to other people. And, you know, that's, I think that's the best way for us to really show the comparison. And you know what, do your own research. Go take a small wallet you have with maybe, you know, less than 100 transactions. You can get a lot of free features. Go through all the products, run it through, see it for yourself, or compare what you've used in previous years. Compare it to you know, what it said, because some of these products actually make changes in their algorithms in towards the end of 23 that prior year reports are not looking the same anymore that you use for reporting. So do your research. Go look into it a little bit more, because if you have crypto, the IRS knows about it. If you have a significant amount of crypto and have an AGI over 400,000, you are on the first list for audits.
Yeah.
So pay attention and take a look at it. Be prepared.
Excuse me. Okay, cool. So I'll link up that URL and how to get a hold of you and the wait list and all that stuff in the show notes. You have some parting words for our Wealth Architect podcast audience.
It's be educated on your own finances and taxes. Do not rely on professionals, even me. Like, don't rely on me. You know, I ask questions, and if your tax professional is not willing to be asked questions and have a discussion and show you the proof, whether it is the Internal Revenue Code, precedent in court cases, et cetera, find somebody else. It is very important, especially in the current climate, to understand what's going on in your financial life and your tax position. You know, it's gotten to a point, I think, where it's become very difficult to find reliable and honest people that have your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see it every day. I mean, I take on a lot of people who were put into horrible positions by their accountants. The IRS, thankfully, is starting to go more and more after the actual preparers of the taxes versus just the individuals. There have been some indictments, there have been some guilty pleas for fraudulent tax return filings, et cetera, which is good. But do your due diligence, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if these people are found guilty. You are the one with the tax bill. You are the one with the levy, with the lien, whatever it is. You know, I hate to see people, you know, being in a position. I do a lot of, let's call it, pro bono work because of people who have been in this position, who have really lost everything because the IRS came after them because they trusted the wrong people.
Yeah. Well, that's a good note to leave it on, because I have a saying that you'll hear in just a second. But thank you for going down this interesting rabbit hole. I didn't think we were going to go there, but that's interesting stuff that you're telling us. And good luck on your product launch and all the other things that you are talking about and doing for people. Thanks for your time and your wisdom, Jana.
Awesome. Thank you.
And remember what I always say, everybody who's listening and watching, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody, and see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.